Welcome to When I Grow Up with Liv and Lex, a podcast dedicated to having sisterly conversation on life, love, and identity. We are your hosts, Liv and Lex, and the conversation starts now. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of When I Grow Up with Liv and Lex. Whoop whoop!
Hey everybody, hope you're having a good life.
I will never stop laughing when you say that. Okay, so as you all know, we love to start off the episode with a quick pulse check. So, how's it going? Let's put it all out there.
Mercury is getting ready to stop being in retrograde, so I feel like I'm really about to be on the come up.
Yeah, we're going to have a whole party, so if you guys want to come over, Mercury being out of retrograde, please hit us up for the Addy. No, also, we're just kidding.
Also, I'm taking one of my good friend's advice. Shout out to Ryan Stratton, and I'm changing my attitude so I can change my life, because I think I've had kind of a stinky attitude about my job and my post-grad transition. But last week I gave myself a pep talk, and we're just going to continue to do those because I'm about to just kill the game.
Yo, shout out to Ryan. She's a real one. But I think that goes perfectly with what we're going to talk about today too.
I think so too. But Olivia, how are you doing?
I am thriving.
Ooh, when you speak it,
when you speak it into the universe, you'll soon believe it, right? So I got back from Jamaica. It was amazing seeing my family.
For plays those, tropical music.
Plays cues reggae, cues Bob Marley. No, it was great seeing my family for my family reunion. If you guys didn't know, part of my family is Jamaican. If you want to listen to more about the dynamics of that, please make sure you listen to.
Don't forget your Ohio.
Oh, I can't forget my Ohio roots. If you would like to hear the dynamic of my family, please make sure you tune in to our first episode, I'm Black and dot, dot, dot. And it gives us a lot of insight into both me and Lexi's intersectional identities. But it was a really cool trip. And I felt like I was able to connect with Jamaican culture a bit more, because I know it can be really hard for me, especially being so far away from my family members. Wow.
I'm so glad to hear that. It makes me so happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a nice time. So good. We're just hoping that the rest of July flows.
Can you believe
smoothly.
It? Almost August. We're not ready.
There are like 5 more months left in the year.
Well, yeah, that I'm okay with. But like the summer being over, it gets you every time, man. I know we all feel like July, we just know, blinks.
This
June,
is true.
I was like, ew.
June was a weird month.
Yeah. Let us know if June was a weird month for you, too.
Right.
Or if it was just us.
It was slow but fast, and it made me uncomfortable. But we're now going to move into our next segment.
Pop culture.
And
this year, this week, I got you on the pop culture.
No way. All right. Yeah. Give us your best shot, Lexi.
So it's Leo season.
Yes.
But all the Leos
mixed
have already
emotions.
Already alerted us of this. If you have a Leo in your life, they've probably told you, they're like, it's Leo season.
They probably posted it on Instagram like 3 months ahead of time. Like, there was this girl that was like, Leo season, like, I'm posting this because Leo season is approaching. I'm like, girl, it's May right now.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
So the only reason we're going to bring this up is because Lion King.
Lion King's out.
We both saw it.
To pay homage to Beyonce, we have to acknowledge Lion King. And we also, I love Childish Gambino. I'm a huge Donald Glover fan, actually.
Me too. I love Dorothy Blackman.
He's my husband, so back off.
Fair.
Yeah, I know. So Leo season.
It would take 2 of him to be your height anyway.
Ooh, that's facts. That's facts. There's probably a Donald Glover in my life right now.
Also, too, ever since I saw Everybody Needs to Go See It, it's exactly like the other movie, so I'm not even spoiling anything.
Right.
But like, the scene where Simba is running back to, like, go back to his home, Pride Land, and Spirit by Beyonce plays, I'm literally like, that's me to my commute to work. And I kid you not, I have listened to it on my way to work ever since. And
that
I'm
song like, does get
I'm
you.
Not even going to sing because I'll spare y'all. But I was like, it really.
I know. Yeah. Beyonce. What a woman.
Yeah, we love her.
Also, Willow Smith's album just dropped, so shout out to Willow. If you know me, I'm a huge Smith family fan, and I honestly think that she produces very, like, above average music.
Did you see her Afropunk?
Yes, I did. Wow, you pay attention to me. I saw Willow Smith at Afropunk, like, 2 years, I want to say, like, 2 years ago, and it was magical. I'm a huge concert junkie, fun fact, so... It was cool seeing her at Afropunk.
Good fun stuff. What else do we have for them?
We just want to shout out all the people who have engaged with us on social media. If you don't know, make sure you follow us at Live and Lex Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. I think our Facebook page is When I Grow Up with Live and Lex, though.
Cool bean.
So please
let the people know.
Yes, please make sure that you keep engaging with us, because we love engaging with you guys just as much as you guys like engaging with us. So
slide into them DMs,
because we're ready for you. Yeah. And if you like to be a guest, please just DM us. And
if something really tickles your fancy that you're like, I need to get out. Also, some people be wanting to, you know, debate about some things that were said.
So, I know.
Come on. Like, we do not claim to be experts, to say the least. And we're literally just talking about a whole lot of nothing. So come talk with us if you got something to say, because y'all been blowing up my DMs.
I know. Lex has been getting a lot of DMs from these people out here that want to challenge what we say on this podcast
or highlight.
There've also been some good ones.
We love it. We absolutely love it.
And tell your friends, tell your mama, tell your grandma, tell your Uber driver to check
Not
out
the Uber driver.
Yes, the Uber driver. Lyft, if you prefer Lyft, to check out When I Grow Up with Liv and Lex podcast and social media. So now that we have the shout outs and the pulse check out of the way, we're going to get into the meat, of course, of what we're talking about today. Lexi with the side effect noises. If you were a little confused.
Once we make it big, we'll get the soundboard and everything.
Yeah. Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah.
But we're going to be talking about self-care. Almost not even just self-care, a step past self-care.
Yes, because we dive deeper on When I Grow Up with Liv and Lex.
Yes, this is
when
just...
we grow up, we want to be well-rounded, wholesome, authentic living.
We want to take care of ourselves.
Yeah, actually that.
In a substantial way. So why are we talking about self-care, Lexi?
I think we're talking about self-care because I find it a little problematic. It's like... super trendy. It's like, you know, hashtag self-care. And I'd say this has probably been a thing for what, a couple of years now, that we've been seeing a lot more people engage with it, talk about it. But with that, just like questions of, is it really, like, what is it? Is it really getting at the heart of the issues with people? Is it sustaining us? And just, you know, I just think it's gotten too trendy.
Right. I completely agree. It can be quite superficial, but there are different types of self-care.
Tell us about it. There
are different types of self-care, right? So there's self-care that's definitely like more small scale, and there's self-care that is large scale. So I would define small scale self-care as getting your nails done.
Love it.
Going to get donuts on your way home from
Love
work.
Love it.
Going to watch movies with friends.
But these are also things that all drain my bank account?
Period. Yeah.
And does that help me?
Exactly. I think self-care, especially through social media, it is almost revolving around what's in your bank account. Do you have enough money to splurge online?
Yeah.
Do you have enough money to go buy those concert tickets? Do you have enough money to do these certain things?
The answer is usually no.
Answer is usually no. Will I do it?
Yes. Yes.
Will I do it? Yes. And so,
reckless.
Right. Reckless behavior. And so we have small scale, but we also have large scale. And I would most definitely define large scale more as getting rid of the toxic traits either you have or getting rid of the toxic people in your life that's causing you harm in a way.
See, and I think even with that, I agree that it's like definitely on a scale and there's like tiers to it. But I feel like there's still something missing to the meat of that scale. And I'd say just like talking about privilege, spotlighting that and how it impacts your self-care practices. Because if we're talking about toxic environment, toxic people, what if that's your workplace and that's the only place that you can work to bring an income for your family or maybe yourself, or if you're in college and you're paying for your tuition or your books or whatever, and you can't get away from those things. Like, that's such a level of privilege to be able to cut things off or leave a toxic environment. So I think that's difficult. I also think that another area that's been controversial is the generational differences.
Right.
I don't know how many people's families or people who are older than us understand our level and emphasis on self-care. You know, right. They talk about millennials or Gen Zers don't want to show up for work and they're like taking all these mental health days and stuff like that. But we call that self-care and they call that being lazy. So sometimes it's hard when we don't have this finite definition for self-care, all these nuances. And then two, can we talk about how self-care looks so different for different identity groups? And like, right. It looks different for males, it looks different for females, it looks different for brown people. Like, it just, there's so many layers that I don't, this is where my issue lies. It doesn't really get at all of those things.
Right, and how do you even heal when no one really has a clear definition on what self-care is or what it looks like, or you haven't seen it within your own family?
Exactly, and it's almost like it's been commodified.
Right.
Big word.
I know. I mean, that's definitely true. And thinking about the kind of relationships that we want to foster and the type of lifestyle that we want to live, I think it's extremely important that we dive into what it looks like for us and how we process healing and getting into the more nitty-gritty of what self-care is and what it should be.
Yeah. I think, I've popped my popcorn and the people want to hear about our own personal experiences with self-care. So how have you seen this like reflected in your life, Olivia? And do you feel like your self-care practices have sustained you?
This is turning into a quick story time. Woo! Because y'all know we love a good story time.
We need a story time button.
Oh, yes.
What should be the sound?
Story time?
Why did I think it was going to be deep too? It was like, story. I like that. Yeah.
Because we share.
I'm not going to repeat it, but that there is definitely some telepathic communication going on there. Okay, so great. Time for story time and some vulnerability. So earlier this year, I've been in this very strange, weird transitionary phase of learning what it truly means to love myself.
That's the best journey.
I know. And it's like, you can look in the mirror and be like, oh, dang, she cute, you know, every single day. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you love yourself, because there are a lot of habits that we do on a day-to-day basis that is anti-self-love.
Yes.
So,
oh, yes.
So why do...
For the people in the back, please.
Right. And so I was going through a similar situation where I was just like, okay, do I really love myself? Basically, I was talking to this guy that really didn't fulfill me at all, didn't fulfill my needs, but in the process of me feeling afraid of not being with someone, me feeling afraid of not being able to invest my time in someone, I sacrificed bits of my time and bits of myself to entertain someone that I had no interest in building a relationship with.
Yeah.
And so I had to take a step back and think, okay, why am I sacrificing my time and energy over someone that, for one, doesn't deserve it. For two, I don't see anything going on, further in the future with this person. And three, just, isn't on the same frequency as me.
Yeah.
And I think it took some time of me, I feel like, sitting alone and really figuring out, okay, what direction do I want my life to go in? What kind of examples do I want to set for other friends of mine? Where am I?
Those internal dialogues are so vital to you.
Exactly. So, it was definitely internal dialogue. And I'm still in that process of figuring out, okay, how can I function not being, I don't want to say dependent on anyone, but being meshed as one with someone.
Yeah.
Because I'm such a hopeless romantic and I like being in relationships and I think I thrive off of connecting with someone on a deeper, intimate level. But how can I do that without necessarily being in a relationship?
Yeah. That's huge.
And so this process of healing has been really uncomfortable for me. And when I say every single day is a challenge.
Yeah, big.
It's it's so uncomfortable. It's not fun at all.
you're like, I don't wanna.
I actually hate it. But I also love it more than I hate it because it's all about.
So were you able to get through this just by yourself? Or this is big life decisions you're analyzing about yourself.
I actually went to therapy. Because
Black people go to therapy?
For free, kind of, technically, because our school has our counseling services. Yeah. So, counseling, if you would like to call it that. But I decided to sign up for it. It was, at the end of the year. And when I was talking with the counselor, he was asking me about, my self-care methods because, busy Black woman at this school.
Yeah.
Dealing with all these different moving parts. And he was like, okay, when you don't have time to watch Netflix, eat popcorn, and drink tea, how do you take care of yourself? And I was like, huh? What do you mean, how do I take care of myself? That's kind of the only way without having to buy anything, without having to,
shop. You pay for your Netflix?
Girl, that's a different story.
You look like the type.
I look like, man, I'm riding this Netflix plan till the wheels fall off. We know this.
That's fair.
This. And so it really just made me think, okay, what are my self-care practices? How can I incorporate sustainable ones when I don't have a Netflix account?
Yeah.
And I don't have popcorn to buy and I don't have tea.
Yeah.
And that's a question that I'm answering every single day, but
I think this gets into the part that I feel like it needs to be spotlighted, which is that there's more, and that sometimes the self-care work that needs to be done is difficult, and it requires you being self-critical, and it requires really vulnerable moments like you just shared with us. It is not always fun, but getting my nails done sounds hecka fun. So sometimes I feel like it's easier to take the quicker, more immediate response that gets commodified versus the one that might be behind closed doors. That's the healing that you need to do that growth. And then I feel like that's when you're able to really walk away and say I can recognize these situations and these people, and I've developed tactics of self-preservation to be able to grow from this,
Right. No, I definitely hear that. And one thing that I think that we both really want to get across is how there are so many different parts to each person.
Yeah.
And how can we fulfill those parts?
Yes. And that's why I think metaphors are so great. And we have one we want to share with y'all. And we've been talking about this a lot. And this is something that we think is foundational to kind of building community and just like bringing in. We think it's so important to prompt this conversation with the community. So we're super excited to talk to y'all about this idea of what's in your garden.
What's in your garden?
Yeah, and just what that what that looks like and what that means of just this manifestation of you. And it's like, I really value metaphors because they give you like a little visual representation, and I like to close my eyes and picture this cute little meadow of my life,
right,
and just helps us kind of, I don't know, like you can ask yourself these really great questions of like, how are you tending to your garden, what's growing in your garden, and
what's spoiled, what do you need to get rid of, what's not in season anymore,
what needs more work.
Exactly. Like, they're like just questions after questions.
Yeah.
That each person needs to consider.
Yeah, exactly. And there's like different beds for different things, right?
100%. 100%.
So, like some of the beds can be your friends and your family because like you can't get rid of your family. So they're kind of this permanent bed.
Right, exactly.
And so friends and family and what type of relationships you have with that. It can be career and professional. Like what are your aspirations? Where are you now? What have you fostered before? Health and fitness. What are some other ones?
Yeah, I mean, there's relationships, of course, like how are you learning from your partner? How are you not being codependent in a relationship? There's also, I feel like, a miscellaneous section of your garden, which is kind of like random. And that, for me personally, consists of impulse buys, traveling.
Ooh, yeah.
Random things that fulfill me.
Yeah.
And it varies from person to person, but I think that that's like a great basis for what is in everyone's garden.
Yeah.
That could be debatable. Like people can have more or less things in their garden, but I think it's a great, this is our guide to figuring out how to separate certain parts of your life.
Yeah, I think that's true. Into categories. And then I feel like even having like aspirations and hope, like in greenhouses and stuff, that's where you plant little seedlings and you like start to foster ideas and then you'll eventually plant them into your garden.
The manifestation.
Yeah, so like even having that like aspirations and goals that we're working towards too. I just think all of this is a great metaphor to engage in like that, again, that step past self-care into just being super, super critical. And I know that this is like, it helps me make it real to talk about myself because like we all know I love being vulnerable and since it's so easy for me to talk, I'm being so sarcastic, so easy to talk about the areas in my life that need to maybe be tended to more or like are rotting or I've just blatantly neglected.
Right.
It helps me identify those when I'm having those internal dialogues with myself or maybe having them with like somebody who I think is like a trusted sounding board. And I think it just gets me to, I don't know, let's like break it down a little bit more of just like how the garden really works.
Right. I mean, so as we all know, they're different people for different seasons. They're different thing passions that we all hold dear to ourselves. And so in order for us to have a balanced life, in my opinion, I feel like we need to nurture these different parts. And so we all know if you water a plant too much, like
you kill
the plant. So you don't want to be putting a lot of energy and effort into one part of your garden while watching all of the other parts die and rot. Yeah. So it's, life is all about finding a healthy balance between all these different sections of making sure that you're staying on top of your health and fitness, while also making sure that you're reaching, you know, whatever career and professional goals, while also making sure that you're checking up on the ones that you love and spending time with those that matter most, while also making sure that you're not dealing with any toxic partnered relationship.
And I think that goes to like, it doesn't have to be so big scale. Like saying all those things seems super overwhelming, but your healing process and your tending to your garden and taking care of yourself can look however you needed to look for the day.
Right,
and
exactly.
And I think that there's been times where, like, I didn't have the energy to tend to certain things, so I kind of let them get overgrown knowing that I would have to get back to them eventually. Like,
right.
I remember being a senior, like, and getting back from being a bride, and it was, like, such a hard time. I was like, I don't really care where I end up or land up. Like, I just kind of trust that process, and it's because I had planned and intended to it before that occurrence had happened. Mm. So it was already blooming and blossoming that I stepped into this great opportunity once I got more stability. Mm-hmm. Or, like, maybe I would say in my relationships department, I was tending to things that were never gonna grow.
Right.
And just being able to recognize that. Or I think there's so many components to it of, like, assessing, this is my guide to it, I think, right. A little bit. And I'm pretty sure I've read this in an article before, too. So don't think that I'm some little guru who sits out in the wilderness thinking about
right.
these things.
Yeah.
But just, like, assessing the conditions of your garden. So, like, assessing you. Like, how am I doing right now? How have I been doing? Where do I want to go? And then you can't have a successful garden if you don't have a plan or a vision, because anybody who's been outside or talked to a farmer realizes there's so much work that happens in the, like, off season when there's
right.
not a huge harvest to think about, like, what do you want? And we talk about that with our lives of, like, manifesting plans and visions. So having that, being able to take time to prioritize things
right.
for yourself and recognizing you don't need to do it all.
Mm. And not comparing yourself to other people that look like they're doing it all.
Exactly.
Like,
because they might be in a completely different season of you.
Exactly.
Like, you might be in the planting season and they're in a complete, like, harvest. So they're just reaping all these benefits.
Right, right.
You just don't know.
It's don't
just,
know.
See, this is why it's a perfect metaphor. You also need to recognize, like, the types of conditions that you're in and, like, your soil and your water and, like, is this even a good place for you to be in? And if it's not, how do you counteract some of those things? Because those all play a role in how things are going to grow and develop and blossom
right.
past that. So those things might be out of your control, but that's another thing of, like, there's going to be so many things that happen in your garden that are outside of your control, like pest and disease and storms and all these things. And obviously this is metaphor for life things, but there's life things that happen all the time too that impact a range of your career, your professional
right.
life, your health, your fitness, whatever. So I think all of those components help. What else? Let's think.
You reap what you sow, for one.
100%. Yes.
I mean, if you go into the mindset as well, just thinking, okay, none of my crops are going to grow. Like, this is
yeah.
never going to happen. I'm just going to be a farmer that has all of these seeds that don't get to see any of my products flourish. Then you're, when it actually comes time for your products to flourish, then you're not going to
yeah.
to be prepared.
Oh my
gosh. For that.
Yes.
And so in order to prep yourself, like, you also have to prep your mind and be in the mindset for positive flourishing produce.
Yeah.
And different sectors of your life. And just like you were saying, I think it's so important to realize that there are different seasons for different things. And so, you know, you might have just gotten out of a breakup, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to figure out how you can heal from this breakup
mm-hmm.
because that person, you just loved that person was so embedded in your life. But right now, it's so important for you to maybe pay attention to the other parts of your garden.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you should just put the relationship part on hold
yeah.
and really start diving into the passions that you may have or
and
the family and friends that you have to support yourself.
Yeah.
Because this isn't your time.
Yeah. And that might even fill your cup in ways that you didn't even know.
Exactly.
And I think even with that goes a step further of, like, you get to protect your garden. Like, that's yours. That's you. Like, we're talking about us
mm-hmm.
as individuals and our struggles and the things that we have as inventory in our life. And you get to put boundaries around that. And that would look like building a fence around your garden. It could be really high and be like, we need this because I feel like there's things trying that are putting, you know, the development and growth of my garden in danger. But there also might be seasons where you get to open up and say, I have so much of abundance in these things, I want to give it to other people.
Right.
So there's opportunities to set those parameters for yourself, because it's like, at the end of the day, it is your garden to tend to.
And period.
Yeah, period. Yeah, absolutely. Like, truly, drop a mic. End it there. Yeah. It's yours, and we should all feel so empowered to be able to be self-critical and vulnerable with ourselves. And I just think that is the self-care I'm buying into. Like,
exactly.
Those are the practices that I've seen my own life gain more of a harvest year after year. I've been able to grow in my knowledge of myself. And it's like, yes, we could probably all tell that I would love to be a farmer in some point of my life. But it's like, you just grow in your knowledge of industry. And if your industry is yourself, right, then like, I'm truly in the business of living my most authentic whole life. But it looks like work. It is work. Exactly.
And I cannot stress this enough. Like, no one comes out of the womb like knowing what their self-care package looks like,
yeah,
or knowing exactly the right ways to nourish every part of your garden. Like, sometimes you literally have to fail trying to make tomatoes,
yeah,
a billion times to really figure out the right way in order for your tomatoes to flourish.
And then 4 years later, you might be the expert in tomatoes and you kind of just chuckle at yourself.
Exactly, because I'd honestly rather keep failing at trying to make tomatoes than plant tomatoes and just be super stagnant and being okay with my tomatoes just
really
like not growing.
I hope not everybody growing. Can think about a metaphor for their tomato.
Right, exactly.
No, it could literally be learning to advocate for yourself. And that was one of the first lessons that I think was the hardest for me to learn, but became transformational. And now people are like, oh my gosh, like, so you have so many of these words for yourself. Like, you have all this. And I'm like, you don't know. Like, I had to plant that over and over again. I had to lose that crop over and over again. And now it's one of the ones that has the biggest yield for me in my life and has spread and just done so well in my garden. But it's like, you have to take the time and you need patience and you have to trust the process. It's so cliche, but you have to be patient with yourself and you have to trust yourself.
Facts.
Those are big things. Trust yourself and trust and be patient that you have your best interests.
Yeah, and you're on the right journey to figuring out your purpose.
And it's your journey, and we can't tell you how you need to heal from whatever is in your garden, whether that's tomatoes or flowers,
yeah,
or
strawberries.
Oh, we love the strawberries. Or potatoes or olive trees or avocado trees. I think I want an avocado tree in mine. But we want to just acknowledge that this is a guide and first steps to having that conversation with yourself. And you can have it while you're painting your toes or getting your nails done.
Y'all, we got some face masks up in here if you really want to get real about it. But we also are trying to be self-critical with ourselves while we have on the face masks. What part of our garden is this really helping? And How can we live our lives in a way that is not only positively impacting ourselves and the different parts of our identity, but also impacting the other people that we love and hold dear to our hearts?
Yeah, for sure. And you really, you know,
it takes time.
It takes time, and you got to make sure that you're doing it for you.
Exactly.
Don't do it for anybody
else.
If
only we had this kind of talk when we were in middle school. If only a letter to 12-year-old Liv and Lex. If only I had someone to tell me this. This would be amazing.
Truly. Well, I hope this resonates with y'all. And if it doesn't, then that's okay. And if this gives you a whole new energy to be self-critical with your life, tell us what's in your garden.
Exactly. We'd love to hear what's in y'all's garden and how you personally maintain a positive and flourishing garden, I guess, in your life. Please make sure that you connect with us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Live and Lex Podcast, because that's where you can see all of our cool polls and conversations after we record. But thank y'all so much for tuning in to another episode of When I Grow Up with Liv and Lex. We seriously appreciate everyone's support.
Yeah.
Thank you for those that have reached out. And
we can't wait to talk to you soon.
We can't wait to talk to y'all soon. So Have a wonderful week.
Peace, love, blessings.
Bye, y'all.